York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, you are. Hi, how are you? Welcome, everybody, to the big radio show. Happy Monday to you on this second day of July, year of our Lord, 2018. Yes, the year is now more than half over. Whoosh. I mean, it's just whoosh, and it's gone. But so here we are, and we've got a lot to cover. We've got plastic straws. Oh, I know what I was going to start with. So I'm looking around this morning because it's a very summery feelings Monday, July morning. And I'm going, okay, let's see. What do we have in the news today? And it's just such a classic summer type news barrel today where I saw extensive report this morning on CBS about how to prepare your car for a road trip. Then they went to an in-depth discussion about there's a city in Texas that's going to fly 40,000 flags on Wednesday. Another one about how police train to do their jobs. And I'm going down the list and thinking, oh boy, oh, this means there's nothing new. This is just kind of pop culture stuff that's going on. So I kept digging. And of course, we had the, I'll get to this later. I don't want to start with this today, but over the weekend, there were big marches, about, ICE and about immigrants and about putting the kids and the families, back together again. So we'll update you on that. But there was also, our neighbors next door had a big election yesterday. Yes, Mexico. So as was expected, and I think, look at, they're our next door neighbor. I think it's important to see what's going on in Mexico. And I don't know what you make of this guy, but everybody said, oh yeah, this guy is going to definitely be the next president of Mexico. And he is. He was the mayor of Mexico City, and then he tried to run for president two terms ago, and he came in real close but lost. He tried it again 4 years ago and again came real close but lost. And so now he goes by AMLO, A-M-L-O, because his name is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, which spells out AMLO. And so he won, and he won in a big way. But what's interesting about him is that he is a big, big lefty. He is not a member of the PRI, which is the ruling party in Mexico for almost as long as I can remember. I thought there was somebody in there who upset that as well one term. So he's not from the institution. He's not from the establishment. The establishment politicians were rejected by the people of Mexico. And so he ran against the establishment. Oh, yeah, he had a bunch of people he was running against that were establishment people. So once again, we're starting to see not only here in the U.S., but we saw it in Europe, in Italy, in Hungary, and a bunch of other places that are saying no to their establishment politicians and bringing in somebody that will do something different. And in this particular case, he focused on the forgotten man. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that technique before? So this, look, this guy is not trying to copy Donald Trump. He's not a Donald Trump. Like I said, he's very far left of the aisle, but it just says, because this guy's been this way. He's 61 years old, I believe. He's been this way for a long time, so there's nothing new. But he is, he focused on some of the problems that are facing the middle class in New York, in Mexico. And that is where he got his massive votes. So I'm not sure why this is catching on around the world, but it seems to be. So he says, look it. He, number one, because everybody and their brother has heard about the corruption in Mexico and Mexico's government. And that's what he focused on. He says he is going to eradicate the nation's corruption problem. Well, to me, that's kind of the same statement as, hey, I'm going to drain the swamp. So you got a righty here in the U.S., you got a lefty in Mexico, but they're focusing on the establishment and corruption, and they say it in the same paragraph. So he's going, he says he's going to focus on, that's his number one issue, is going to, he said the corrupt regime is coming to an end. He also focused on crime rates and drug deaths, and they have gotten much worse over the last 3 years. They dropped for a while, and then they came roaring back. Mexico had 30,000 homicides last year. 16,000 in 2014, 20,000 in 2016, 30,000 homicides in 2017. Then he starts going after the drug industry. But remember, this guy is way over on the left-hand side, but he knows that there is a huge problem with the corruption and the homicides, and all of that ties in with the drug business that comes out of Mexico. So fighting drug violence is one of his most frequented campaign promises. But he's not talking about clamping down on the drug dealers and the drug cartels and all that. What he's talking about is getting rid of the violence. So what he wants to do is kind of an unusual situation. He wants amnesty for some of the people involved in the drug business, primarily farmers, who have been found guilty of growing marijuana and opium, poppy, and things like that. So it looks like he is going, I'm thinking about legalizing certain drugs to take the criminal out of it, or try to, and to take the violence out of it, or try to. So he's very popular with young people, and young voters between 20 and 35 make up 40% of the voting age population. They've grown very weary of the establishment politicians doing nothing, and life in Mexico getting worse. Now, why are we talking about Mexico? Because we normally talk about immigration, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But one of the things that some of you have called this program to suggest is, how can we somehow make these countries so that they are more attractive to their citizens to want to stay there? The people in El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, how do you get them so that they are, so that if you are from that country, you want to stay in that country, you can do well in those countries? So the idea that this is a radical change from whatever they've tried before, it will be fascinating to see if it has any impact on the number of people that say, I'm out of here, I'm going to the U.S. I'm not sure if he's going to be successful. Nobody knows. He's made a lot of promises, but politicians do that. And there's talk about the fact that now that he's president, that the talks about NAFTA could accelerate. They'll either come to some conclusion or they'll rip it up and be done with it. One of the two, but they're not going to be just talking about it and dragging the talks on longer and longer and longer. They got a new guy. By the way, he's not coming in office until December 1st. So he's got five more months before he takes office. I don't know why either, but that's the way they run their system. So I'm hopeful. I'm looking at Mexico, and I'm thinking, I'm not a lefty. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a lot of things that this guy is. But he's very popular. He's no spring chicken, but the young people love him. And he's got some ideas about getting the violence out of the drug business And it doesn't look, he hasn't said he's going to legalize the drug business, but he may give some of the people that are involved in the growing of drugs, farmers, some breaks, maybe try to legalize some of it, which would take the cartels and ruin their profits. So I mean, I don't know. There's so much violence, and a lot of people that have been running for office in Mexico have been gunned down. So I wish the man well. President Trump said he talked to him this morning. They had a wonderful conversation. Everything was all rosy as far as his description of the conversation with the new president-to-be, AMLO, in Mexico. So I don't know if you know much about him. I don't. But some people do. DJ Peterson with Longview Global Advisors, he was on CNBC this morning. He says that Mexico has broadened their agenda with the election of this guy, and it could affect NAFTA negotiations.
What you've seen is a close cooperation between Mexico and Canada in the NAFTA renegotiations. They are working very hard to preserve the agreement and obviously to preserve it in their to their greatest favor. What we see now is a new leader in Mexico who has a more progressive agenda, who wants to have greater income equality. And that broadly mirrors the theme that we see in Canada and the leadership there. So I think they're in many ways very aligned. The question is does the side in Washington, does the White House want to have an agreement?
So at that point, look, he's exactly right. We've got a lefty north of us. We've got a lefty south of us. Our neighborhood is run by a couple of lefties, and I have great hope for this new Mexican president. If he can take the violence out of and the corruption out of the drug business, maybe we can make it the country will be so the people will want to stay there. What do you think? Hopeful? Or is this just another politician making promises? 855-295-6600. Be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So we got this new guy who is a very popular president. He's a left guy. Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador is the new president of Mexico, elected overwhelmingly by the people yesterday. So does this guy have a chance of succeeding? I don't know, but he's going to do things different. And I hear that that's exactly what's going on and why Washington, D.C. is so upset, because Donald Trump does things like no other president has ever done before. Well, this guy who's on the opposite side of the aisle from him, but he has that in common. He's going to do things, he says, that have never been done before. So I like that. I don't have to live under his socialist policies and all of the things that he wants to do, but if he can take the violence out and so that people don't have to run or don't want to run to America but want to stay in their home countries, most people, I think, do. I know that we are a magnet no matter what. But if he can get their economy to do better, he's talking about greater energy self-sufficiency. We get a lot of our energy from Mexico, and he has the labor unions are big supporters of him. And what he's talking about is pouring more money into the Mexican oil business, the national investment, making more jobs, growing the energy sector in Mexico so that more people there have jobs. It just keeps more of them there rather than coming here. Now, as fast as I say that, I also tell you that there's a lot of people, the demographers, that are going, we need immigrants. We've talked about it 1,000 times on this program. In fact, our birth rate is low, and we are not replacing ourselves. So how are all of our social safety net programs going to be paid for unless we have immigrants come in from other countries and get to work and pay taxes and pay for it? But he's talking about building out a new gas pipeline system, new oil and gas production, about opening up new gas stations by private operators. So he's big on not only getting rid of corruption and trying to get the violence out of the drug business and get the murder rate down so that people are not fleeing the violence in Mexico, but he's also talking about finding a place where they can do more with their natural resources. They're very blessed with a lot of oil, and this is an opportunity if he can get it together. The problem is that will the drug cartel sit back and do nothing if he tries to take the illegality out of the drug business? If he tries to give some sort of okay to the farmers and others that are part of the drug production business in Mexico and say, you're not going to be held legally responsible, well, then the drug business, this is legalizing the drug business. But they will legalize the drug business, maybe. Fighting drug violence has been one of his most frequent campaign promises, which ties in with the corruption, the payoffs, the cartels, the crime rates, the drug deaths, all of that. It all goes hand in hand. So back to DJ Peterson with Longview Global. Says Mexico needs to expand its economic base to compete against the U.S. and to have the money to pay for the social promises.
When we look at Mexico's economic performance over the last 30 years, at a macro level, it's been very strong, very pragmatic, export-oriented, tied very close to the United States. This has benefited a fragment of the population, the upper class, the elites, urban middle class, and the populations close to the American border in the manufacturing cities. But there's a large segment of the Mexican population, 40-50%, that are not engaged in the formal economy, that are laborers, day laborers on farms or in households, that don't have the educational opportunities. And that's who AMLO was speaking to this week in particular. His theme is to broaden economic opportunity through a range of domestic programs. Can he reallocate resources in a tight budget environment to achieve his goals?
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Sullivan Radio. JC says, yeah, and he promotes that it's a human right to be able to come to the U.S. This dude is all talk. He does. He goes, yeah, you have a human right to march across the border into the United States. Oh, no, he's a big lefty, no question about it.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Yep, here we are. And so we've got the Mexican president now, the new guy coming in, but it won't be until December 1st. But then we'll see if anything can actually come of it. I hope for their sake they're able to help their countrymen and keep them in their country. Will help us with the immigration. Speaking with immigration, there's a whole bunch of stuff to go over there because I didn't see a lot about this other than kind of after the fact. I knew there was going to be some protesting, but apparently there were people marching in the streets. Fairly large numbers, I'm told, but I'm not quite sure if it was anti-Trump or were they really concerned about the kids on the border or what is it that they're marching about. But this is a the whole business about ICE and the fact that the Democrats want to get rid of ICE. And there's an article in CNN about the fact that Democrats are making a big mistake on immigration. That the first two, who is Scott Jennings wrote this, CNN contributor, said two dumb things happened in the last several days. One, the Trump administration separated children from their parents. Well, that's been done, yes, but it's been done for a long time, as we're finding out. And the Democrats' desire for open borders is likely to be a disappointing issue, he says, when they poll things this when it comes around to voting this fall. So, I mean, they're out there talking in you know, from Maxine Waters, but there's many, many others that are out there doing it as well. Some are starting to back off the idea. Kirsten Gillibrand, New York senator, she is one of the first to come out and furiously talk about how the fact that we've got to abolish ICE. And then when asked the question, well, what are you going to do about maintaining border control? There really isn't a good answer. So Bernie Sanders is all of a sudden not falling in line with all the others on the left side of the aisle. It's become the thing to say, and I don't know why they thought this would be a good selling idea. I'm going to ask you, do you find it attractive to get rid of ICE? Immigration and customs enforcement. But for everybody that wants to run for president on the Democrat Party in 2020, this is what you need to do. You need to call for abolishing ICE. Get rid of it. Kirsten Gillibrand started it off, and Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, who's a socialist, he's all for it as well. So is the Democrat Party represented by Bill de Blasio and Kirsten Gillibrand or Bernie Sanders or who? So Sanders is apparently refusing to drink the Kool-Aid. He was on Jake Tapper's show on Sunday. It took a little while for the news to sink in, but the Democrats are saying he's on the wrong side on this issue. And what he literally is let's cut 11. This is him refusing to call for the abolishment of ICE.
I think what we need is to create policies which deal with immigration in a rational way. And a rational way is not locking children up in detention centers or separating them from their mothers. What we need is Trump to sit down with members of Congress and work on a rational program which deals with a serious issue.
Well, what is that rational program? I'm not sure either. Because he's talking in very, very vague there about all of this. I don't think this is labeled right. Well, yeah, let's go to cut 15. President Trump saying that by the Democrats pushing to abolish ICE, they're going to lose if they do it.
Well, I hope they keep thinking about it because they're going to get beaten so badly. You know, ICE, these are the guys that go in and take MS-13 and they take them out because they're much tougher than MS-13, like by a factor of 10. And these are the ones, you get rid of ICE, you're going to have a country that you're going to be afraid to walk out of your house. Mm-hmm. I love that issue if they're going to actually do that.
So I don't know where you are on this. Do you think this is a good issue? Or do you think the Democrats are going to get creamed by doing it? Now, let me go back. This is President Obama in, I think it was May of 2009, promised, he was brand new in office, only been in office a few months, and he promised to everybody, I'm now President of the United States, and I am going to promise immigration reform, and it's followed by a woman who was one of his supporters. Let's listen.
What I can guarantee is that we will have, in the first year, an immigration bill that I strongly support and that I'm promoting.
We believed in the hope and the change that he talked about. We believed that he was talking about immigration. We didn't see that fulfilled. It was a broken promise.
Yeah, so we believed in hope and change, and it's a broken promise because he promised it when? Democrats had control of everything. They had a majority of Senate. They had 60 senators. They had the House. They had the White House. And he promised the people, especially the Hispanic community in this country, you vote for me, I'm going to get in immigration reform done. There was no reason why they could not do it. Well, I'm not going to let the Republicans get a pass here either, because last week the Republicans who do control the House, they don't have 60 votes in the Senate, but they could not get an immigration bill out of the House where they control it. So why is it that the Democrats who have the complete power to do so, and the president who said he was going to get immigration reform done, and now we have another president who keeps talking about getting an immigration bill with four pillars, and yet Congress was controlled by the Republicans with a Republican president, Democrats with Democrat president, it doesn't seem to matter. It never, ever happens. So all of you that were out there marching around about ICE over the weekend, what are you doing it for? What's your point? What's your purpose? What are you trying to achieve? And the worst part of it is people like Kirsten Gillibrand that are out there jumping up and down about it. Another one is Elizabeth Warren, who's using this. I mean, she wants to run for president, and where were you, Elizabeth? She said, this is the moment. It's a moral crisis for our country.
This is about children held in cages. This is about babies scattered all across this country. This is about mamas who want their children back. President Trump seems to think that the only way to have immigration rules is to rip parents from their families, is to treat rape victims and refugees like terrorists, and to put children in cages. This is ugly, this is wrong, and this is not the way to run our country.
All right, the problem with all the people cheering is that the President Obama, Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, also put children in cages. It is ugly. I don't like it. I think it's terrible. But how are you going to control the borders unless you incarcerate the people that are coming across illegally, and if they incarcerate them until they get their hearing in court? So I'm not quite sure why the complaining from Elizabeth Warren, because when the Democrats had power, they did absolutely nothing. We'll be right back. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
To you, keeping an eye on the border, and we are finding out, as ugly as it is, we have been locking kids up for a long time, mostly because the heavy majority of the kids that are in some sort of facility are because they came unaccompanied. They weren't split off from their families at the border. They were split off from their families when mom or dad sent them on a bus or a train or something to head to the border. And we're now finding out that's been going on for some time, but it exploded on Trump by the media, because the media will report that now if they wouldn't report it with Obama. Come on. It's I'm not being wacky here. That's just the truth. 855-295-6600. Jim, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Good show, guy. Hey, you know, it's a fact. These people have to be housed someplace. We just can't let them go to New York, Los Angeles, whatever. These kids are coming by themselves. Their people are letting them come here. Their fathers, I don't know what's going on with those guys. If all these bleeding heart Americans figure they want to take care of these kids, these moms, like all these poor children, maybe you ought to come up with some kind of funds and volunteer and take a bunch of money and send it to those countries. They help them out. They don't need to be coming here, because we don't know if these kids are ill, sicknesses, they have diseases, whatever. Los Angeles has been having a problem like that for years. They're coming out a lot of strange diseases and illnesses from people coming in. The doctors in the hospital say, where is this coming from? It's from people coming from across the border.
Well, I get tweets from one particular person who has brought up on a number of occasions, hey, Ellis Island worked because
sure did.
We brought the family, unloaded the ship at Ellis Island, kept the families together, gave them the medical checkup, gave them the who's your sponsor and all that sort of stuff, and most of them were given passage onto the mainland and welcome to America. But if you were sick or did not have the sponsorships, you were turned around and put on the next boat going back to Europe. So yeah, it worked. So I don't know why. That's what this is our Ellis Island on the border, if you will.
I agree. They need that one central place if they have to. They want asylum. They're supposed to do it from another location, not come to the United States and say, I'm going to do asylum right now. But the thing is, they're not being humane to these people. These Border Patrol people, all these people, everybody else, they have their own children.
Sure.
They're not going to sit there and take four and five-year-old kids and maliciously treat them terribly.
No.
So this whole thing is out of control.
I saw one. There was a very touching story of a mother being reunited with her child. It looks like about a 7 or 8 year old girl. And the media was all there, and the cameras were rolling, and everybody, they hugged and cried and everything else. And then the reporter said, yes, now they're on their way to Los Angeles. They'll be living there until the court hearing. And going, yeah, okay. So they disappear into the woodwork somewhere in America. Yeah. They said Los Angeles, but that could open. Be wherever. Who knows? Who knows?
Tom, can you imagine the open border? Can you imagine what would happen to this country? You'd have not only people from South Central America and Mexico, you'd have people from China and everywhere else saying, hey, get to Mexico, get to whatever, and you're coming to the United States.
So
we'd be so overwhelmed, it'd be ridiculous.
Why did somebody think in the Democrat Party that a winning campaign message would be abolish ICE? I mean, you don't have to play chess to go, the next move is, well, if you don't have ICE, who's patrolling, who's enforcing the law, who's enforcing the border laws? Who's enforcing immigration laws? Nobody.
Borders, countries, and language, like Michael Savage says all the time, you have to do that. You need to have security. We are an independent country. I went to Vietnam. I served my country for 27 years.
Thank you.
And I didn't serve my country to be loyal to have a bunch of people from everywhere else come taking my place over and get told by some crazy band, bunch of people saying, hey, we don't like America. We can't stand it. So we're taking you over. Obama did it. Everybody else did it. Let's rechange America. What do you mean by rechange America?
Look, the law is changeable. It's very changeable. And if we do need more immigrants to fulfill our payments to our Social Security system, whatever, fine, change the law. But the Democrats had the power to do it and did not do it. Now they're screaming at the Republicans. This is totally political spin. That's all this is.
I agree, Tom. 100%. You're right.
It works, I guess. I don't know if it works. Do you think this will work? Get rid of ICE. Do you think this is a winning message?
No. Crime going on constantly. I got guys in law enforcement, the sheriff department, with Jones. I know guys that worked at gang units. I worked with these guys before. I worked in code enforcement.
Yeah.
I worked as sheriff. They got people all the time, every day. We're going to apartment complexes, going places, whatever. And even the landlords aren't supposed to ask these people who they are and where they're from.
Yeah, I know.
It's too late. There's a shooting and killing. These guys don't even belong here.
I know. Well, I just want to know who's coming. We can change the laws. You want to let in 10 million a year? Okay. But let's get Congress to do something, change the law. And Congress, Democrat controlled, Republican controlled, is incapable. They're dysfunctional. But Jim, thank you. I do appreciate your call very much. I don't know what it takes. I really don't know what it will take to get Congress to do something about immigration. The president has laid out four pillars. Even the Republicans who control the House could not pass a law with those four pillars. They fought amongst themselves. There's Barack Obama in 2009 promising immigration reform. And a Hispanic lady saying, you broke your promise. Because he promised and promised and promised, and then he lost control of Congress. It went to the Republicans, and he got nothing done. So, I don't know. I go back to this weekend. Supposedly, there were large crowds out there that were running around with pre-printed signs handed out by somebody. What was their point of marching in the streets over the weekend in our country? What were they trying to do? What were the politicians like Kirsten Gillibrand and Elizabeth Warren, why are they screaming now when they had the power to do something about it not that many years ago? Then you've got Bernie Sanders going, yeah, well, let me backtrack here a little bit because you need to have some border enforcement. So he's now made enemies of all the Democrats. And another one, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, Democrat, declined to back calls for getting rid of ICE. Several of her Democratic colleagues have supported it. She told ABC's This Week, I think what has to change are the policies, and the people that are making these policies are making horrendous decisions. Same policies that were in place 5 years ago, but we don't want to point that out. So I mean this is all, I think people are going to see through this charade very quickly, that they could have and did not do anything about it when they had a chance. And I think it's a losing message, but let them go. We'll be right back.
The Pacific Sales 4th of July sales event is on now. Get up to 40% off appliance